This is a Crazy Over 40s Live podcast, where every Thursday you will have a pirouette of rotating co-hosts, including myself, Caroline Brown, that will delve into topics relating to the over 40s. Throw away this notion that you're going through a midlife crisis. We're going for a crazy over 40s life. It's the time to uncover and rebirth our adolescent years filled with curiosity and all our desires. We do it right here on the Crazy Over 40s Live podcast. We look into relationships, emotional, sexual, financial wellness, entrepreneurship, providing you with an enjoyable delivery every Thursday. And don't forget to share and subscribe so you can keep updated on all the episodes as and when they become available. I hope you enjoy this episode. So, listeners, I would love to introduce you to Richard. Hello, Richard.
Hello, Carolyn. How are you?
I'm doing so well, Richard. And how are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for coming on. And this is a topic I wanted to discuss from the male point of view. I've had someone come on before and she explained it really well from a female perspective. And so it's really nice to get a male perspective on it. And before we go any further, it's about men who are wanting to find love and what that looks like after they've suffered a bereavement of their loved one. But what led you to do the work that you do, Richard?
Well, originally, I was in print and graphics. So I was a graphics technician. So I would do everything from conception, artwork, and right through production to the very end. And that was great. But I was always very keenly interested in how that information works, how people learn, how people relate to the information and to their tech. And then later, as time went on, how people learn, how they relate to information, how they relate to technology. And I did that for quite a while. In fact, I was a trainer for Apple for 8 years. And it's all about relationship with technology. And then I was helping with the, you know, I was doing that as a coaching business. But then I had a conversation with a friend and I said, look, I love what I'm doing and I'm good at it. But I feel that I could be doing something more important. And we kind of had this great conversation and it led to an epiphany. And that epiphany was, you know, I had gone through this experience of 9 years of treatment for a rare cancer with my late wife. So, you know, supporting there and being a caregiver, and then her passing and everything that follows with that. And I did go out and date and learned how everything worked. And I knew the systems pretty well, but I also knew the human and psychology aspect. And I had a lot of fun with that. And then I found an amazing partner, and we're going on 2 years now. The beauty is that I was like, oh, wait, I could really help other people. And I looked, and there's some great resources for bereavement and how to handle the loss. But the dating stuff tends to get glossed over, and dating has changed. Even if you're, whether you've grieved or not, you know, dating has changed significantly. The roles we have in relationships have changed. So I really kind of took it on and said, you know what, I could see myself doing this, and let's do this all the way.
Yeah. And what's so wonderful about your story is I think it's quite, someone can resonate with it in the over 40s, more so than any other time, as you said. The dating platform or landscape has changed. I know that you met your wife who passed 20 years ago. So back then, things were very much in their early stages, really, in terms of connecting with a potential partner. Tell me, what has been the biggest change for you?
Biggest change personally?
Through the obviously the loss of your wife, which was obviously very devastating. I know I've read a little bit about your journey, but what has been one of the things that has been the biggest hurdle in terms of the dating, and when did you think you were in the position to find or start to think about finding someone again?
Well, I was rather fortunate. One thing that you'll see a lot of, you know, it's like, when can you start? When can you start looking again? And the biggest trick is that it's not about time. Time is largely irrelevant here. There is, however, a particular milestone that you kind of need to hit. And the biggest problem, especially for men, this is for anybody who's lost their spouse or, you know, partner, but for men in particular, so much of our identity is tied up into the relationship that when we lose our partner, not only do we have to take on all of their roles, right? Where we, you know, Sam used to be in charge of the social calendar more than anything. She used to, like, I did a lot of the cooking and whatnot, but she there was a lot of things that she managed, and all of a sudden that's on me. And for parents, you know, for parents, all of a sudden it's now you're responsible for, you know, where it used to be you're the breadwinner and you'd work or whatever your role was. Now all of a sudden you are also the sole parent and cook, and you have to make sure the household is maintained and maintenance and the catch to whether you're ready or not really comes down to, have you gone through those roles, taken on willingly the roles that you've chosen? Like, you have to decide what you're going to take on and how you're going to take it on, and kind of come, you know, make your peace with those, with that new identity. And then you have to redefine your identity and reimagine your life, because you've not only lost your partner, but the possibility of all that was going to be, that future with your partner. So you have to kind of make your peace with that and then say, how do I honor, and, you know, how do I honor the person who was and honor who I've become because of them? And you have to find your own way. And I do help with that. I help people with that quite a bit. But then you go, okay, now that I have kind of redefined my identity, now that I know who I am, and that, really, truly, authentically who I am, and then get clear on, and this is the key, get clear on what you're looking for, which is another thing I help a lot with, because a lot of people don't know. So that's, but the key to it all is really that redefining of yourself and knowing where you are and where you stand with yourself.
Okay. Well, that's really well said, really, because when you think about men around that age group in the over 40s, they may have had, as you pointed out, some of us, a traditional marriage in every sense of the word, and taking on these roles that they hadn't seen, you know, they're taking on. Do you think it impacts their masculinity in any way when you tie it into identity?
Well, of course, it impacts your identity. But the idea of affecting your masculinity, the idea of, you know, there's certain things our society kind of go, you know, the stereotypes about men, and a lot of these get perpetuated. But the fact is, and I can say from my experience, I was very fortunate. My mother was very good about making sure that I could cook, clean, sew. I knew how to clean things. I knew how to, you know, maintain a household. And I was very, you know, it was very much a part of my upbringing, you know, including how to iron clothes. And yes, steamers do exist. And, you know, that is a nice shortcut, but, you know, all of that. But the idea of how to, you know, maintain things, but the idea that, you know, well, oh, well, men don't sew, or, you know, no, we have to kind of get away from this. And I think the new masculine experience is being a truly well-rounded individual, but we haven't gotten there as a society yet. We're getting there. We're starting with the idea that men, we need to look at men's mental health. We need to start opening up, and because society and relationships are changing as well, the old mores and patterns and, you know, roles have kind of gone out the window. So now everything is up for grabs, and we have to kind of redefine everything and come to a consensus. So it's there is a whole new redefining of what masculine, even just what masculine is properly.
I totally agree with that. We are going through a time where there is a position where men and women don't know exactly how to engage with each other for those who are single, and more so, I suspect, for those who have lost their partner. So I want to know a little bit more about that. You talked about the milestones. So it's kind of getting your adjusting to the new life that you have, right? So it's adjusting to the new life that you now have that you hadn't thought it would be. Tell me, what are the sort of things do you think about, you know, someone who's been widowed, a man who's been widowed, what is he wanting or desiring since the love of his life has passed?
Well, and here's where we kind of get into the societal trap of, you know, we don't speak ill of the dead. We don't want to, but let's be honest, that relationship may not have been the happiest one, or it may have been one of complacency. We don't know. And let's, for the sake of argument, assume that it was a very happy one. Every widower, no matter whether it was a fantastic relationship or not, is going to have to really kind of look at their life. And we in our, you know, in Western society, and I think all around the world, but I can't speak from personal experience there, but I can definitely say in most Western societies, we are so, we live by these patterns and heuristics. We know our routine and we live by it, and we don't like change. And all of a sudden, it's not that we accept change. It's change is hoisted upon us. This is the death, whether it's sudden or we know it's coming. The reality of it is inescapable. It is an inevitability. And then all of a sudden it's okay. Now we have to deal with that. And it's not like they pass and we can start our grieving process. We have, there is the phenomenon, I call it the carnival, where when that person passes, everybody comes out of the woodwork and everybody wants to help and everybody, but everybody is grieving the loss. And more often than not, we as men, particularly, women are expected to do this too, but men particularly, you have to stay strong. You have to be there for everyone else. You have to help them through their grieving. And it doesn't leave you the time to go through yours, to deal with the loss properly. And you kind of have to almost steal away the time to do that. And then, of course, society comes back and goes, yeah, but you have to provide. You have a job to do. You have it. And again, that's another kind of, we put off our grieving process. And the worst thing that happens is a lot of men try to go to, well, let me get back to normal, but it can't. It won't go back to normal. We have to redefine. We have to define a new normal. We have to find out what a new life can look like, and it requires imagination. It requires us to reimagine everything. So that's something that every widower, widow or widower, but widowers for sure have to do. We have to be able to have the time and encouragement to put to rest and kind of make our peace with what was, acknowledge who we've become, and choose that path forward. But considering how many people don't like change, it's very tricky when you don't like change, and then all of a sudden it's, no, but I just want to get back to normal. But that doesn't exist anymore. So you the sooner you kind of make your peace with that and, you know, find out what's good, what's not, and start looking at what you want to create, that makes a very, very big difference.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it would make a big difference for moving forward. How do you imagine yourself with someone else. I mean, what are the can do you know the statistics of men moving on and finding a new partner?
The statistics are actually the time frame is tricky. That's the hardest one to answer because some people grieve. Sam had a rare cancer for 9 years. In the last year, we saw the decline. The decline was marked. Like we and I had the double-edged sword, the blessing curse of understanding the medicine, and I could actually lay out for you the process of what was happening to her, both on the cancer end and the neurological end. And like I could lay that up for you chapter and verse. It was textbook kind of how it happened. So I saw the decline, and it gave me time to prepare myself in certain ways, and never to I was always there for her. I was always, but I also understood the importance of taking care of myself, because if I didn't take care of myself, I couldn't be there for her properly, or anyone for that matter. So there is a certain amount of self-care that I had to, as a survival mechanism, had to have in place as she was leaving, kind of thing. And but for those who are sudden, it can be very, very difficult, for where the death is unexpected or sudden or both. So yeah, that can be very challenging.
Right, because there is for women, I was reading this statistic, and I know that for some women, it could take at least 5 or at least 10 years for them to actually find someone else and to move on. And for men, I believe it's quite a shorter time. And you talked about adjusting and getting through that milestone or adjusting to that next stage in their journey is important before they move on. And before we go any further, maybe you want to add to that, but I'm very curious, does sexual intimacy play a part in men wanting to connect with a woman, rather than the emotional connection? Maybe they're maybe not ready, and perhaps date casually before they make a committed relationship happen.
Well, I love that you bring that up. On both sides, for men and women, there is a desire for intimacy. I mean, it's part of who we are as humans. Intimacy and touch, and it doesn't necessarily have to be sex, but touch and intimacy are wildly important facets of our survival. We do need these. Children who are untouched, like who don't receive touch or intimacy or affection, and I don't mean that in a creepy way, I just mean that in a very, in a nurturing way. Children who don't receive touch fare very poorly. There's conclusive studies on this. Whereas we as adults, we're especially when we're used to a certain amount of intimacy in terms of both physical and just being able to share our innermost thoughts, because men don't share with everybody. Men choose the, men share tend to share with their partners, and their partners know how to get it out of them. For those who are not as comfortable communicating, their partner can tend to, know how to navigate that and kind of get it out of them. So that's important, and we do need that. And I think a lot of men try and find a relationship to fix the problem. So they're looking for a relationship to fill a void rather than
All right.
to share this new life. And that's a huge distinction that I have to make. So there are a lot of men who go and jump into a relationship very quickly, especially if they're feeling vulnerable. The first person who treats them well, or who shows a good amount of interest, they could, quote unquote, fall head over heels. And that may not be the best for a long-term relationship. And I am very much for the idea of, you know what, there's nothing wrong with, for me at least, there's nothing wrong with a friends with benefits type arrangement, provided that both parties are consenting and they understand what it is. I know that gets complicated emotionally in a lot of cases, but let's differentiate the physical needs from the what a long-term relationship should be. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I think that's what I'm seeing from a lot of women who are in the dating world. They are reluctant to date a man who's a widower for those very reasons. They don't think that he's ready when he says he's ready. And it's quite similar to someone who has lost a partner through divorce, say men who are newly divorced, haven't, just barely signed the paper. Again, women are reluctant to approach men who are in that stage of their journey. So it's about losing someone and knowing when is the right time, on a woman's situation, her coming forward and wanting to make that connection happen. There is a reluctance because of that.
I can totally see that too. I can absolutely see where that kind of reticence comes in because, yeah, you don't want to meet with somebody who's just looking to try and, fill a void, and you want somebody who's ready. And I think we need to be, and let's be honest, most relationships, I mean, almost everything about relationships come down to two things: whether you're heard, respected, and valued. Right, that, and I mean, somebody could say, oh yes, in communication and trust, but that really does come down to if both partners are heard, respected, and valued, that all kind of falls into that. And the key to maintaining a good relationship is expectations and transparency about those expectations. And I think the fact that most people, and here's something I've noticed, and this is by and wide, if you go to most people and ask them what they want, they will tell you a laundry list of things they don't want. But very few can tell you what they do.
Yeah, true. Very
And
true.
it's especially when it comes to dating, and this is both sides of the fence, men and women, we don't necessarily know going in exactly what we're looking for or what makes a good relationship for us in this season of our life, at this time, so it's really about, hey, what are you looking for? What do you require in a partner? And then, of course, getting away from this whole idea of, but wait, I've got a checklist and they've got to check off all the boxes. We don't want to do that either, because then you miss out on what could be, what you need and what could be a wonderful relationship or a wonderful partner for you. But if you're just focusing on these arbitrary traits. So it really is kind of getting down to what does a good relationship look like? Who are you and what do you bring? And we all have insecurities. And we have to acknowledge this, especially over 40, right? We
Yeah,
all have our insecurities.
we do
Of
indeed.
course, but knowing and understanding that and saying, but you know what? I'm a good person. I know what I'm looking for, and I bring my end to the relationship, and let's, and I'm looking for somebody who brings, and knowing what you're looking for, you stand out as a beacon, and you people will recognize themselves in you. And as much as I hate to say this, but it's true, it's just good marketing. Market yourself well, and say what you mean what you say,
Mean what you
and
say.
people will respond to that.
Totally. And then the other thing is very important I want to cover is the whole idea of online dating. Is it a good way to meet someone for
It's a
those who
fantastic way to,
widow? Okay.
it's a fantastic way to meet people. But the online dating, it's what I just mentioned about being clear, is even more important there. You really have to know. And if you don't, then, I mean, I'm here to help. There are dating coaches out there that are here to help. I work more specifically with men. I have worked with women as well, but I specialize with men. But the fact is that really a lot of what I do is getting very, very clear on this kind of, what is a good relationship for you at this point? What do you want? What do you need? And who are you? What are you looking for, and who are you to attract that? And that's And you are everything you need to attract that. Just make sure that you're bringing up your end, you know? And you are, you know, like people, we keep getting, you know, our stories are all kind of geared around the chosen one, the child of prophecy, the business leader who, dwarfed everyone. That's nice, but nobody gets there alone. So, and these stories are all about, well, you're not that. Well, you are that. You have every right to have this relationship, if you know what it is. So be comfortable in your own grace,
Yeah,
kind of
grace.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know we're coming towards the end of this podcast, but there's some couple of things that I wanted to cover. I know that women are wanting to know. And men too. Do you still have the photos of the person who's passed on?
Fantastic question. I think that it's fine to have photos around. I mean, look, anybody who's with somebody who's lost their partner has to understand, first and foremost, that they wouldn't be the person they are if it wasn't for that relationship and that person in their life. And more so if that is the mother of their children, right? So should there be shrines erected? No, that's a little much, but there are certain things where, yes, acknowledging the person who was and who made you who you are to be in this new relationship, I think there's a an honor in that, and as long as it's done tastefully.
Tastefully. So would you say that, sorry to be so intimate at this point,
Oh,
but in the
please.
bedroom, would you say in the bedroom is not a good place? I mean,
I think the bedroom is a place of great intimacy. I think you really do need to make the bedroom yours as a couple. So I might say, yes, maybe not in the bedroom.
not in
That's a personal
the
choice. That's a personal
Right.
choice. I would definitely agree with that. I think that's a very wise, a very wise move.
We don't want to be put off by, because you need to be in a space where, it's between you and your partner, right? Your current partner, and it needs to be something that no one feels slightly awkward in any situation. As you said, it's a two-way relationship. And the other thing I wanted to ask is about the work that you do, and why do you think it's important to have someone like yourself, what you can offer someone who's going through that journey?
I love this. What it really offers is, first of all, clarity is key to everything in this, especially when it comes to online dating. Clarity, there is no substitution for it. And somebody who can, somebody with a little experience, or somebody with experience who can kind of objectively look at and challenge you on what you're looking for, not in a, no, you shouldn't be, but more of a, is this really the priority? And really get you clear on your priorities. The other thing that I do with the people I work with is, I introduce a healthy skepticism, because online dating is, they're just tools, and they're wonderful tools. But a circular saw is a wonderful tool for cutting things, but if that's the, is that the right tool for the job? And you're not going to try that with bread, for example. That would get very messy. So it's a matter of, you want the somebody to help you kind of make sure that you're really kind of approaching this the right way, and somebody who's got your back, who goes, hey, this conversation seems to be getting a little bit kind of weird, or it's moving in a funny direction. Somebody who you can, confide in and go, hey, I'm really not sure. Could you, I could use a second set of eyes on this. And you have somebody with experience who can go, yes, that's good, or yeah, this seems kind of funny to me too. Or somebody who can go, a healthy skepticism, oh my God, we just had the first date, I'm ready to get married. It's like, whoa, slow your roll.
Role.
How much have you learned about this person? Let's make sure we cover at least the bases,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
and
And
that's,
go ahead.
oh, I was just going to say, that's why I get people from ready to and through six successful milestone dates with one person. I don't care how many first dates you go on, but by the sixth milestone date, and when I say milestone date, I mean a date where you learn something significant about each other. And of course, there is the space in between the dates where you're chatting and communicating. And so, how much can you learn in those six milestone dates? And by the sixth, you should know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I do with people. I really get you from ready to and through six successful milestone dates. So make sure that you're really, on the right track, and that you really, you know what you know.
You know what you know. I mean, how can any, how do we get in contact with you? Those who are out there who feel this resonates with them, share your details and do you work globally as well?
I do work globally. You can reach me at the website thewidowerswingman.com. You can find me on LinkedIn too, but honestly, the website is by far the easiest way to reach me. I work one-on-one. I'm not there. I'm very much about working with people to get the result, because I'm really about making sure that people get it, get the result right.
Right. Well, we have to leave it here, but it's so lovely connecting with you and sharing your story. Thank you so much. I'm sure it's going to resonate with quite a few people out there. Any parting words for my listeners?
Know that no matter what society says, no matter what the family says, you have to follow what's right for you. You have to find yourself. And if you've lost, you need to find yourself again. If you need to talk it out, please, thewidowerswingman.com. I do love meeting people. I do love helping out. If I'm not the right person to help you at that point, I will make sure that you get in touch with the right person to help you at that point. It's not an easy journey. You don't have to go it alone. I can definitely help with resources and such.
Thank you so much for coming on the Crazy Over Forces Life podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was really a pleasure.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, as always, for listening in and get hold of all the information, including my guests and podcast links, including video content, on the crazyoverforceslife.com website, where you'll find links to my books, which are available on Amazon, as well as up-to-date programs that are available, and a page dedicated to emotional, social, relationship, financial, and entrepreneurship and parenting and relationships, and much, much more. On the Crazy Over Forces Life podcast next week, we shall be joined by Kath Lloyd, who is a speaker and author of When Dad Became Joan. She helped families and helped them with change to restore calm and peaceful lives and live a confident life filled with vitality. She talks about when her father decided to go through a transgender reassignment. She's here to tell us about the separation and loss and illness and disability she also faced through another change that came about in her life through her son's accident. She shall be here on the next episode sharing her story, amazing story, on the Crazy Over Forces Life podcast. And don't forget to share and subscribe so you can keep updated on all the episodes as and when they become available.